Well, welcome. I'm not as nervous as I was last time. I asked the pastor, I said, "Pastor, how long do you want me to preach?" He said, "You can preach as long as you want to, Brother Steve, but we go home at 7 o'clock. Well, I was on the phone. I was talking to Dr. Know-It-All, and he was up there in Clyde, North Carolina, and I was wanting to find out some history about Brother Green, and he told me the one of those a story that almost I just couldn't believe. And he told me that many years ago, before him and Sherry got married, that the pastor was, you know, just always in everything, you know. And he said one day this lady came to him and didn't know who the lady was, and so he introduced herself to him and told her all from what church she was from, a religious church, and said, "Well," said, "I come by your house tonight about 6 o'clock. Well, pastor went to his pastor and went to him and start telling all about what this lady said. And the pastor said, "Where did she say she's from?" And she looked at Brother Allen, and he said, "Brother Allen," he says, "those people don't believe in Christmas. Matter of fact, those people don't even believe in the flag." You know, Brother Allen's always been patriotic. He said, "They don't even believe in singing 'God Bless America' or nothing like that." And so, the pastor said, "Brother Green, what you going to do?" He says, "Well," he said, "I got an idea." And so Brother Green went home, and he got him a big old American flag out, and he nailed it on the front porch. He got him some Christmas lights out, and he put them all over the house and lit them up. And all about 6 o'clock, he was waiting on the front porch. Well, this lady pulled up, but it was a different lady. And so Brother Green, as she walked up to her, and Brother Green said, "Before we do anything," he says, "we're going to pledge allegiance to the flag." And so they said, "Pledge allegiance to the flag." He said, "Before we do anything else," he said, "we're going to sing 'God Bless America.'" And they sung 'God Bless America.' And after they sung that, he said, "What do you think about that?" And she said, "I've been selling Mary Kay for 40 years and never had gone through any of that stuff." Lord of mercy. God help us, Jesus. Amen. Oh, I had to say that to break the ice. And you know, I just like the pastor is, you know, you got to find your feel first. You know what I mean? And it's been a long time since I preached. I was going through my library tonight, and I guess this goes for Kathy there. And I found a book of one of my great friends, Edward Delton Deese. Dr. Deese was, before he got saved, Dr. Deese was going to be a hitman for the mafia. He had the number written down to the mafia who was going to bring him on as a contract hitman. Delta was a very young man. He was very bitter in life. He was an orphan. And he was at the phone booth ready to put the quarter in, and God spoke to his heart. And at that time, someone said, "Delton, if you ever put the quarter in and make that call, you can never go back." Isn't it amazing what God can do? And what God can do for somebody? You see, sometimes we like to judge people by different things. Amen? I used to preach a sermon years ago that said, don't judge a book by its cover. Because you don't know what God is going to do in that individual's life. I think about Billy Graham, how God used him from afar. I think about D.L. Moody, who was just a shoe salesman. I think about Billy Sunday. I think about all the other great men of God that God has called from out of nowhere, and they became somebody for the glory of God. Amen. So you never can judge a book. And I'm very... And I have to remind myself, because sometimes I go to the bookstore and I look at a book, and, And you know, and I look at it, and the cover just don't look good, you know. So I go to another one, and I buy a book, and the cover looks real good. And I buy that book, not because what's inside of it, just because the cover looked good. Had appealing to it. And come to find out, that book was no good for me. And I go back and I buy the book that I was looking at, that the cover didn't look good. And it was one of the most blessed book I've ever read in my whole life. Isn't it amazing? I still believe that God's in the saving business today. I believe that God's able to save, to heal, deliver, and to set free no matter who it is. You never know what God is going to do in somebody's life. There was a young man several years ago. It seemed like that young man never had an opportunity in life. He was just a young boy and his house burnt down just at maybe at the age of 2 years old, and he lost everything that he had. Wasn't long after that, the next year, the young boy got choked on some corn and had to go to the hospital, and that little boy about died, and things just happened one after another. You ever seen people like that before? Just things that seem like they just don't have an opportunity in life. And they moved to the great city. They was living in the farm out in the country there. And they moved to the city there. And there in the city was different from that boy who's lived on the farm. And he began to get in the wrong crowd. He began to get mixed up with people that he should not be. And he got involved in so many things there. By the age of 12 years old, he was already locked up. Why? Messing the wrong crowd. Seemed like this young man didn't have a chance in the world. At age of two, sick. At the age of sick and house burned down, moved to the city. One thing after another. Got involved in drugs and alcohol. Got involved in trouble and all these things. Boy, how can God use a person like that? You know what? He didn't come for those who are well, amen, but for those that are sick. Amen. Amen. Just like that little boy, so wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in the things of this world, it seemed like matter of fact, his mother went out and bought a grave pot for him and his brother. Because they knew for surely he was going to die. But yet, this little boy's life was totally ruined. Whatever happened to that little boy? Did he ever get straightened out? Did he ever meet the Lord? Whatever happened to him? I tell you what happened to him. I stand before you tonight. I was that little boy. I was that young little man that was sick as a little child and wasn't expecting to live. I was that little boy, my friend, that lost everything. I was that one that went astray and got so tied up in gangs and alcohol and everything else in the world. But I'm that little boy that God said I love him no matter what. See, I still believe that God's able to touch and to save and to cleanse and to deliver. I believe that with all of my heart. Yes. You know what our problem is, I'm getting like the pastor and using those mountain words. He's already rubbed off on me. I want to find somebody that sells Avon, amen? But we as a church, sometimes we get so stuck on the inside that we forget about the outside. It's about the outside, saints. It's about those that's hurting, those that's lost, those that needs Christ Jesus in their life. And sometimes we forget. I was going to pastor a church years ago down in the eastern part of the state, and I was there with the pulpit committee, and this lady, and she was saying something. Another lady said, well, she just forgot about her raisins. I've never said that. You know what you're saying was, we forget sometimes where we were when God preached down and lifted us up. We forget. We forget that we was lost and undone without God. We forget that we was hurting. We forget, my friend, that we was lost and what God's done for us, my friend, and God wants to do for them as well. God wants to touch people's lives. Just like He touched my life. Just like He touched your life. Listen, one day I was being led out by the courthouse, and I was shackled in my legs, and I was only 15 years old, and I was shackled for all round chains on me. And I remember the judge looking at me and said, "Throw away the key. He's no good." But my friend, God said one day, "He is good. He is worthy. I love Him. I died on the cross for Him." Wow. Been a long time since I testified about what God's done for me. And what God done for me, He wants to do for you. And He wants to do for those outside of these four walls. Pastor and I would have been talking a little bit. And this morning, the service. And forgive me, because I told the pastor, you know what, I was going to preach a message today on the lost horizon. But I just feel, you know, I just feel that just by after hearing Kathy talk about our daughter there, you know, I just want to remind you that we serve a mighty God. I want to remind you that God came for those which are lost. He didn't come for those that are not sick, my friend, but He come for those that are sick. And those, my friend, that are lost without God is sick. And they need a Savior. And God's waiting and willing to forgive them for their sins and to cleanse them and make them whole. Oh, I tell you, I just love to hear stories of what God does for people in their life. Just like Delton Deese. You know, I think we lost the sense that God's able to do all things. That God's able to save to the uttermost. That God's able to take a broken heart and bind it back together. That God's able to take a ruined life and make something out of it again. It's very easy for us to forget. We come to church on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. We go and over and on. And sometimes we just forget what it's all about. It's not just about coming in and worshiping and praising. It's not just coming and hearing the Word of God. But it's about putting action to it. To be able to work and to minister to people. The greatest thing I've ever experienced in my life is when I led someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. To be able to lead someone to Christ. The world's hurting. I don't need to tell you that. Just as the pastor said this morning, that how much fentanyl was caught in this, was found and taken off the streets here in Thomasville. I've been in these homes. I minister to the homeless. I minister to the drug addicts. I've seen them over and over and over and over again, do it continuously and feel their pains. Had one little boy said to me one time, I said to his mother told me on the day that I was going to preach his funeral, and she said, he told me just the other day, he says, "Mom, I'm going to quit, but it's just like it's calling my name. It's calling me, Mom." And that's the way it is. See, maybe you may not understand drug addiction. Or maybe you may not understand alcoholism. But let me tell you, friends, it's for real. And it affects you. And it affects me. And it affects your family. And your neighbors and your community. It affects us all. But what they need more than all is Jesus. Because I still believe that God's able to be able to deliver them from their addictions. I just believe that. I believe in the power of the living God. If I didn't, then I would stop preaching today. But I believe in the power of Almighty God. Look with me just for a few moments in the book of Luke chapter 15. I want to share something with you. I just want to share that. That was just off the top of my head. And I just want to share that with you about, because I just believe that God's able, and I believe that God wants us to minister to people. People that is hurting from all different walks of life. But look with me in Luke chapter 15 and verse number 8. Either what woman has 10 pieces of silver? If she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and says to her neighbors, say, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. The story is told of James Hilton, who wrote the book of The Lost Horizon. It talked about his story that in the book, he talks about an Englishman who was taken off the plane in a certain country in China, in the very high mountains of Asia there. And there, as he found this very beautiful and most wonderful place, it was so wonderful that everyone that went there was happy and healthy and never got old. Wow, I like to go there, amen. And so one day he left. He went back to England, and when he came back to England, that he found himself not happy, found himself depressed. And so he went back to the same place there, and to that place that he had found the happiness, the place that where no one got old. And there he found his happiness where he left it. I listened to this story right here about this lady here that had 10 pieces of silver. And the Bible said that she lost one. And I can almost imagine the rest of the story. Because in the Bible that they lived in the hut or the house that they had was either a straw floor or a tile floor made of mud or just an old dusty floor. And the Bible said that that one piece of silver that she had was valuable to her. So valuable that she takes a candle and she takes the broom and she begins to sweep the house from corner to corner looking for that one thing that she has lost. And when she had found it, she was so excited that she went to her neighbors and called for her neighbors and said, rejoice with me, for I found that which I've lost. Oh, my friend, ain't this true in every walk of life today? We usually find the good things of life just where we left them at. And in these days where the strain and the stress and the tensions, it's very easy for you and I to lose the spiritual values that we once had in our life. Just like this lady who had that coin, and maybe that's all that she had, but it was value to her. My friend, may I tell you tonight that your spiritual value is valuable to you. And you and I cannot afford to lose them. What are some of the things that we may have lost in the strain of this world? And I got to be honest with you, it's been very stressful, amen. Especially the last 2 years, it's stressful, one thing after another. Have you been to the place in your life that it just seemed like that, man, where is God? You know what? Sometimes we lose the consciousness of God's nearness. We lose the consciousness of God's nearness. Do you remember when you first got saved? Oh, you felt the presence of God as He was right there with you. Walking with you, talking with you, blessing you. But oh, down through the road of life, through all the strains and everything that comes along in life, we no longer feel His presence. We just lost the consciousness of His presence. And I have to admit tonight, there's been many times in my life that I've lost the consciousness of God's nearness. Sometimes I wonder, God, where you're at, Lord? Lord, where you at? I'd never be able to find you. Thomas lost the consciousness of his presence. Thomas walked with the Lord. He saw the Lord die on the cross of Calvary. But finally, when Thomas, we call him down, Thomas, he died at Christ and he had risen from the grave. But when Jesus came to him, he found the consciousness of God's nearness. One of the things that I find oftentimes in life, and in pastoring for 35 some years, oftentimes we lose the joy of His salvation. Did you notice that I said His salvation, not our salvation, but His salvation? Because He's the one that gives to us the salvation. And it's very easy for us to lose the joy of salvation. If you lose the consciousness of God's presence, then you lose the joy of your salvation or His salvation. There's no wonder David said, I hide thy word in my heart that I may not sin to God. No wonder David always said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you ain't got, if the joy is not there, then you don't have no power. You lose the joy of His salvation. Then we oftentimes will lose that wonderful, sweet fellowship. You know what I love about church is that beautiful, sweet fellowship. Just like yesterday morning, everybody perking up, everybody talking. And man, it's just wonderful to be able to fellowship with God's wonderful people. But if you don't have the consciousness of God's nearness and you lose the joy, then you don't have the fellowship. Because you have no desire to fellowship with the Lord. But how do we lose these things? How do we lose the consciousness of God's nearness? How do we lose our joy of His salvation? How do we lose the fellowship of God's wonderful people? First of all, my friend, I think that we lose it by our sins. I think we lose it by our sins, for the Bible said that the clouds, that as a cloud that hides the face of the sun, my friend, that God also hides His face from our sins. Through our sins, through our neglects. When we neglect the Word of God, when we neglect the house of God, when we neglect the things of God, we lose that strength. You remember when I told you several weeks when I preached that time that I was just got saved and I was a weak Christian. That I didn't know where anything was. Was it really getting fed in my heart and everything? And man, I was just ready to toss it up. Why? Because I wasn't experiencing the things of God like fellowship, like being in the presence of God, worshiping, studying His Word. So easy for us to lose the consciousness of God's nearness. But we can find it. Do you know where you find it at? The same place you lost it. That's where that woman found that piece of silver. She found it just where she lost it at. Newsly, my wife said, did you find your keys? I said, yes, I did. She said, where'd you find it at? I said, the same place I left them. Oh, yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all all guilty. Y'all ain't innocent. In the same way, you see, friend, it ain't time for us to lose our spiritual value. It ain't time for us to lose the conscience of God's nearness. Man, we need God now, amen? We need God's presence in our life right this very second in our life, my friend. When we walk out these doors, we need the presence of God in our life. And Amen. We need the joy of His salvation. Hey, when your back's up against the wall, the snatch man's coming to get your car, the bill man's knocking at your door, and guess what? And you got joy in your soul, and the people around about you, they don't understand why that you're smiling like a possum with prayers in your mouth. Because, my friend, you know that your God lives. No matter what I go through, I still got the joy. Why? Because the world didn't give it to me, and the world sure ain't going to take it away. And that beautiful fellowship. We got so many things in our life that were so easy to lose. And it's just easy to let them slip away. And that's why sometimes we have to stop. And we have to think. And we have to wonder, God, will you search my heart? Will you search my heart? And if there's anything there, Lord, because, Lord, I know the stress and everything that's going on in my life, I know there's something, Lord, that I may be losing that's so near and dear to my heart. And, God, that I need in my life. And it may just be a spiritual value that's in your heart and you lost it. Friend, now at any time in this world that the lost needs you to shine, it is now. Can I say it again? If there's ever been a time in this world that the lost needs you to shine, it is now. They went to every dead end street. They've been at the roadblocks, at the roadblocks, at the roadblocks. They've been to doors, at the doors. They're just like the lady with the issue of blood. They spent all that they had and still not got well. And you and I can be that individual that can lead them to deliverance and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me, please? I'm a little different than the pastor is. You know, I don't know your needs. We just bow your heads. I'll ask Brother Joy if he just plays something. I don't know your needs. I don't know your hurts. I don't know your pains. I don't know what you're going through in life. But if you're like I am, we're going through a lot. But I wonder here tonight, maybe through all the crisis in your life, the strange, the stress, that somewhere along the line, you just lost the consciousness of God's nearness. He's not close to you like he used to be. Oh, but you wish that you could find that place that you used to be. Maybe you don't have that joy and that thrill that you once had when you got saved. Man, you can fight hell with a squirt gun. Maybe you just don't have desire for that sweet fellowship just between you and the Lord. Maybe you just got something in your life that only you and God knows about. Would you say, Pastor Steve or Brother Steve? I'm so used to saying Pastor. Brother Steve, I have a need. I have a need in my life. It may be that you lost his presence. Maybe you're lost. Maybe whatever it may be. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need financially. Maybe whatever it is. and you have a need, would you slip that hand up and say, will you remember me when you pray? I won't embarrass you. We just slip, thank you. Others throughout this building, I have a need. Thank you for being so honest. I have a need. Heavenly Father, I just love you tonight. You've been so good to me, Lord. Lord, you're as able to reach down to the mire clay and pick this old boy's life up and put the pieces back together. And Lord, sometimes, Lord, I lose that consciousness. But Lord, you always come and you tug upon my heart. And sometimes, God, I don't feel saved. But God, I know I am. Father, for those that raise their hands, for the hearts that searches, God, would you touch them, Lord? And Father, would you touch our pastor tonight, Lord? God, would you just bring healing to his body and his family, his son? But most of all, Lord, help us to open our hearts and our eyes to see beyond these four walls, but see the hurt, to hear the cries, to feel the hunger, to sense the needs. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.